So my son had a birthday party this past weekend.
Ooh.
And he special guest appearance by Elsa, the Frozen Disney character.
Wow.
Showed up.
His idol.
He loves Elsa.
Yeah.
He really loves her. And it seemed like an awesome experience for all the other kids. He spent the entire time buried in my wife or my chest. Yeah. And did not want to be engaged with Elsa.
Yeah. She tried really hard.
She did. And look, we did, like, as she was leaving, she was there for an hour.
Yeah.
And as she was leaving, he gave her a high five.
Yeah.
The weakest of high fives.
Well, and y'all did get a picture.
Kind of.
With her behind y'all.
Near us.
Yeah. And he was like looking.
Yeah.
Over your shoulder trying to see where is she.
Now, on Monday, you know, Monday we went to daycare. He told me he was so excited to tell Miss Brittany, his teacher, that Elsa came to his birthday party, though.
Yeah. He's going to have that memory forever, you know?
Yeah.
And a photo.
Yeah.
<we're> with her like peeking in from the side.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring our Take Our Faith Beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me today, Pastor Cassandra Nagel.
Hello, people of the future.
Thank you for joining me.
No problem.
Elise and I did try to record a podcast together, and it failed.
Boo.
And we actually tried recording this morning, and it failed again, our recording software. So this is take three.
Third time's the charm.
Third
Patrick.
Time.
We can
I
do
downloaded
it.
Some updates. We will see if they take.
We're going strong. So,
so far, so good.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on everything to make sure it all works through. But before we get there, are you familiar with the Cambridge Dictionary?
I'm familiar with dictionaries.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I have a preferred brand.
Okay.
I guess my preferred brand is the internet.
The internet dictionary.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a good Googler of words.
Sure. Okay. The Google dictionary. So they've added some new words. Giving nod to TikTok generations in these words. So I'm going to give you a little quiz here. You know what these things are.
I don't know. I don't have TikTok, so this might be rough.
Trad wife. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got to say, you know.
Oh, like, traditional wife. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. But Instagram traditional wife, not just.
That's
like,
true.
Like, Leave It to Beaver Mom is not a trad wife. Trad wife is on Instagram baking sourdough.
Yeah.
You know, while she talks about the benefits of being a trad wife.
Yeah.
At least I talked about that. Delulu. Do you know what that means?
Delusional. Crazy.
That is what it means. Yeah. It got its start for Korean pop star fans who think that the Korean pop stars might have romantic relationships with them. Then they were called Delulu.
Wow.
Maybe they're hoping they show up at their birthday parties.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they will not. And the Australian Prime Minister used Delulu in an attack on his opponents in Parliament.
Well,
he called them Delulu with no Salulu.
My gosh. I wonder if his opponents were they younger than him? Was he trying to really speak, you know, at their level?
Sure. Or is he young? So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
To help you out if you don't know. Delusional with no solution. That's what he's saying.
Delusional with no solution.
Delulu with no Salulu. All right. How about broligarchy?
I know what a bro is.
Do you know what an oligarchy is?
Yeah.
Okay. It is an oligarchy of bros. So rich people who are influencing politics and culture, but are bros. Mm. So this would be like tech bros, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. These are the broligarchy.
Okay.
That's what this is. Yep. Mouse jiggler.
What?
it's in the Cambridge Dictionary now. If you're ever like, what's a mouse?
Is it one word or two?
It's two words.
Okay.
This is a pandemic device or software that you would put your mouse on and it would like move your mouse and make your computer look like it was working when you were not working.
Wow.
So for people who are spying, you know, your company is looking at your computer, like, what are they up to? It looks like work is happening.
Looks like you're active.
Yeah. And now it's in the dictionary. Mouse jiggler.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. So I wonder.
You did not utilize a mouse jiggler during the pandemic?
No. And I think if I did, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I'd feel so guilty.
Okay.
But.
And finally, skibbity.
Yeah. The kids say it all the time.
It is a thing for kids to say. It is from some internet show thing, but it's a nonsense word. And even Cambridge acknowledges it as a nonsense word. I can tell you, this is their definition of skibbity.
Okay.
Because we've talked on the podcast, we talked about it before, and we don't know what it means. But here's the, now we know.
Okay.
According to Cambridge, a word that can have different meanings, such as cool or bad, or can be used with no real meaning as a joke. An example of this is, what the skibbity are you doing? So it could be a word that you could just put into any sentence to just be nonsense for nonsense sake.
Wow.
What do you think? Skibbity, does that belong in the dictionary?
I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, if it's being used all the time, then it does make sense, you know? Because then I can Google it. What does skibbity mean?
Sure.
And Cambridge on the internet can tell me.
You could pull off Cambridge off the off your shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
They said we only had words where they think they're going to have staying power. So Cambridge is coming out. Skibbity's here to stay.
Okay.
I guess we'll see. I am praying Cambridge is wrong. Get this out of here. Nobody needs this. Once these kids get even slightly older, they will look back at in hopes with shame and fear that this is what they were doing. You know,
I will say there's a couple of teachers on I watch on Instagram who will do like a weekly video of these are the words that my students said. And sometimes I cave and watch the whole video because I feel like our kids are saying all sorts of words, you know, they were saying Ohio, I'm like, why are you talking about a state?
What is this like?
Now I think it's hilarious. What is this?
I'm all for making fun of Ohio. Where Pastor David's from. So
he's not here to defend himself on
But. I'm telling you, if you're a listener and you hate skibbity like I do, here's the solution. I know how to kill it. Start using it. Use it in front of teenagers.
Ooh.
If you have got young kids, as you go to school, be like, who's ready for a skibbity day?
Cool.
That's what's going to kill it. Oh. As soon as moms start saying it, it's over. You know?
What if an even worse word
takes its place?
And we've caused a bigger problem. Cambridge is going to be adding a new word.
Did you know that I use skibbity in a sermon?
Yes. I did. Yeah. Do you want to tell that story? It's funny.
Yeah. To the confirmation students, when they were confirmed last May, I gave them a gift that they could pick one word.
Yeah.
And I would include it in my next sermon, which was like 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And they chose skibbity.
Yeah.
And since it has no meaning, it's just a nonsense word, I use it as kind of my conclusion.
Yeah.
And I did tell the congregation I was going to use a word given to me by the confirmation students.
At the beginning of your sermon.
Very, very beginning.
You said, listen for my word. Try to figure it out.
What the word is. Then my last sentence was, and that is pretty skibbity. You know?
And then he walks away.
That's the mic drop moment.
Yeah. You were wearing an over-ear mic, but it was I don't remember at 8:30, but at 11, everybody just like erupted in
laughter.
It got
some good laughs. It got
some laughs.
Yeah. Our senior pastor, Pastor David, would say, God loves each of you and I do too. That's his conclusion. Now maybe this will be mine.
Sure.
You know, skibbity.
Yeah. Gotta bring it back.
All right, I'm saying this right now. Cambridge, I know you're listening. Beyond Sunday Podcast is officially saying the Oxford Dictionary is our official dictionary. We are anti what your decision making. Mouse Jiggler and Skibbity do not belong in the dictionary.
What happens if they are trying to compete with Cambridge and add those in too?
Oh, then I got to find a third dictionary out there.
There's always
Merriam-Webster.
Merriam-Webster. There's always Google, Patrick. Yeah.
I got to find another dictionary to add to this because this is not going to be not flying. And Oxford, if you want to partner with us for some ads, I'm in.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. We'll give you an ad. Yeah. Type in, Beyond Sunday for 10% off your next Oxford Dictionary.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Try it out. Maybe it'll work.
That's a bold claim.
maybe they're pre-partnering with us without letting us know.
Okay.
So if you need to order a dictionary from them and not Amazon, which is, I presume, where you would buy it, try that out. All right. Let's get to our main topic. We're talking about worship. And this is from Christianity Today. And the headline here, worship music made with Bubba in mind.
I'm confused.
By Kelsey Kramer McGinnis. All right. What do you think this means?
I have no idea. When I hear the word Bubba, my first thing is Hubba Bubba, the gum.
Okay.
Which I was never allowed to chew growing up. So sure. I'm already like, what is this?
Any gum or just that one?
Oh my gosh. My mom who is listening is going to be mad that I don't remember the rule. I remember, I think it was no gum until I was 12.
Okay.
And then it was no, but never sugary gum. Yeah. Like I could do mint, but I had braces too. So like that just makes it hard. But Hubba Bubba was
Hubba Bubba was out.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this idea that I, from what I read here, mm-hmm. is this is worship music made with Bubba in mind would mean worship being made with blue collar men in mind.
Okay.
Does that ring?
Sure.
In?
Sure.
Okay. So they are using as kind of their example, this hip hop country artist, Jelly Roll, who mm-hmm. I do not know. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He performed at, he was a surprise guest, I believe, at the Thanksgiving game of the Dallas Cowboys playing somebody last year when okay. Dolly Parton performed, and then Jelly Roll came out.
Dolly and Jelly.
And everybody like screamed their heads off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he is, you know. Song Hard Fought Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's pretty popular right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I tell the kids, like, I don't know any music made after COVID. I don't know anything.
Mm.
Before COVID, I might know some stuff, but mm-hmm. after, nothing.
Yeah.
I have kids. We listen to Let It Go in the car on repeat. So, like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So unless Jelly Roll is partnering with Elsa, I don't know who he is.
Sure. Like,
you know, so, but it, kind of the idea, and from what I understand from Hard Hallelujah and kind of Jelly Roll's kind of like branding
mm-hmm.
would be this idea of like bar stool country rock hip hop hybrid
mm-hmm.
and the but still has elements of like faith and Americana, I guess, attached
mm-hmm.
to it
mm-hmm.
you know, and the idea like God meeting you, you know, at the bottom of a bottle kind of a thing,
yeah.
you know, like, and that in these moments there's God and things like that.
Yeah.
So like that is kind of like worship music for this
mm-hmm.
kind of audience.
Yeah.
Which is definitely, I will say, definitely different than probably most churches sing with worship music. Mm. This is not CCM or hymnal worship.
Right.
All right. So this is more like kind of like an expose on like what this kind of means
mm-hmm.
from here. I'm not sure there's going to be a ton to glean from what's her face? Let me look up her name again. What Kelsey has written here. I'm not going to mm-hmm. necessarily pull a bunch of quotes, but I do think that this is interesting.
Yeah.
This idea that blue collar men have a kind of spiritual longing
mm.
that is not being met by modern or even historical worship.
Yeah.
And that need is being filled
mm-hmm.
by artists like Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
And so, and so what do we think about that?
You know, I think it's really interesting because that song in particular does not sound like most worship music
yeah.
that I listen to or that I hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And so it sticks out to me in that it's different.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting, right? That there is more than one way to, or one genre or one style, right, of yeah. worship music. Because at least my experience sometimes is a lot of worship songs kind of sound the same when they start off.
Sure.
Or, you know, have a same kind of rhythm or
yeah.
order of, you know, bridges and things like that. So it's different. It's
especially if you're listening to like K-Love or
sure.
contemporary Christian music radio.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that they have an audience in mind.
Yeah.
And that audience is a middle-aged mom. I mean, yeah. that's who they're thinking. This is who's going to listen to our radio station.
Yeah. And I do think it's really compelling for an artist, for a, you know, production company to say, this is who we are writing this music for.
Yeah.
Right. And to be very clear in that, to see that it sounds like there's a need. Right.
Yeah.
And to try to meet that need. Now, what does that mean for Christians outside of that?
Sure.
You know, like blue collar male demographic. Right. I think
sure.
is something to yeah. explore, too. But I have a hard time feeling initially like conflicted
sure.
about worship music, right? Even yeah. if it's not my preferred music,
yeah.
right? It's still, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just an acknowledgement that for every church or every you know, worship band mm-hmm. in a church or whatever, you know, they are curating kind of messaging or things, whether they know it or not, kind of with an audience in mind. That, mm-hmm. that, and I think it's reasonable to say, like, not every worship experience can truly be for every person yeah. in your community.
Yeah.
By nature of, like, it's in English, like, mm-hmm. that you're already making a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, you're already making a choice that some people in this community will not be able to access this.
Yeah.
And then when you get up there, you know, as a pastor, and mm-hmm. you preach, if you choose a reference point mm-hmm. from a movie, TV mm-hmm. show, life event, you're making a choice that not everybody in this room is going to be able to connect with this reference yeah. point. Like, that's just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's wrong by any means. I think we have to, you know, you're choosing different ways to communicate, but it's just the reality.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way it works. Like, if you're a pastor or you go to church and they do a lot of sports analogies mm-hmm. kind of from the pulpit, which is not uncommon,
no.
you know, like, that would be very, very common for a pastor to do. You're alienating anybody who, like, doesn't necessarily connect with sports that way,
mm-hmm.
who's not getting the sports shorthand.
Sure.
And so you either have to do, like, some weird, like, explaining everything,
yeah.
you know, like, so that everybody's caught up on some level,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we can kind of say, like, you know, like, you know, if somebody was up there, like, when Jesus was up, you know, like, bases were loaded, third, you know, second strike, it kind of, like, if you know what that means,
mm-hmm.
it's drawing you into, like, this is the stakes.
Yeah.
But if you have no idea what those things mean or don't really care what those things mean, it's meaningless. Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Or if you use, like, war analogies again, which is very common. The Bible uses quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, of war and army analogies
yeah.
to convey a message.
Yeah.
But if you've either never been to war
mm.
or are anti-war,
mm-hmm.
it is a very different kind of perspective to kind of step into kind of those things.
Sure.
So I do appreciate the idea of, like, maybe there's an underserved population that has been curated by contemporary Protestant Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is blue collar men.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think that this is an underserved population? Let's start there.
I feel like it's hard for me to say.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
You're not a blue collar man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a man, but I'm not blue collar.
Yeah. But I guess it seems to me that, especially with this song, because of how much popularity it's gained,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that would be happening if it wasn't meeting a need. Right. So
yeah.
I think kind of the numbers, the, you know, just the recognition it's getting might speak
yeah.
to that question.
Yeah. And I think maybe that is a demographic out of all the ones that you could kind of put together that might feel the most that the world is shifting away from their experience the most.
Mm.
That they're just, you know, blue collar men would feel like the world made sense at one point and now it does not anymore.
Mm.
And I think they would experience that the most, that,
mm.
you know, college educated, you know, white collar or workers might not have the same experience.
Mm.
They might not have the same kind of, like, desires. You know, you think through, and we talked pre-podcast recording, like, who out there is, like, most angry at, like, a Cracker Barrel
mm.
rebrand, and they fixed it.
Yeah.
It's probably blue collar men, you know,
mm.
like, who are seeing, like, one more part of the world has been, like, shifting away from their point of view.
Mm.
And I think politically or culturally, branding is kind of, like, said for a number of years, kind of the world is for you.
Mm.
And now it's not. Mm. Like, you know, like, and so I'm sure that's a difficult thing. And
yeah.
so I'm sure there's kind of a question of, like, well, where do I fit into this new world?
Yeah.
And so that there is now worship kind of saying you do still fit into this new world, I think matters. And
yeah.
and I'm not trying to say, I definitely don't want to, like, poo-poo their experience, even if I may disagree.
Mm.
But I do think that there is a longing and mm. and a fear. And maybe this is, worship is still for you, even as we have more female pastors now than ever.
Sure.
Like, worship is, you're still accessible to worship, even though where many churches out there might be trying to say, like, we're moving away from, like, war imagery.
Yeah.
You know, like, or traditional family values
mm-hmm.
as, like, being the centerpiece of
mm.
what we kind of preach and talk about.
Yeah.
Not that they're very valuable to what we do here, but they're not the centerpiece of what we do.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, well, I do think it's, I don't know, the like pastor, you know, seminary trained side of me comes out, because what I do appreciate about a lot of our hymns, and we've talked about this before, is the difference between kind of the I and me centric language that can come through in a lot of, you know, more contemporary Christian music versus the God subject. You know, a lot of our hymns, I is not used, you know, like we are singing our praises to God, right? In various things, in various matters. And so I think about how that for me is an important piece to go alongside with this type of music, right? I think it's important for us as individuals to see we have a place in a faith community, right? We have a place at God's table in God's love. But that place is not just for me, right? That place is not just for people who have the same demographics as me or personal experiences or whatever, but that, you know, the community of God's love is really diverse and complex and expansive. So I wonder if there's space for both, or like how we can hold both of those together.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm gonna pull something from what she wrote here. So she says, the idea that we should listen to music made by artists who share our worldview is arguably the animating force behind the Christian music industry. So basically, you want to listen to artists who have who see the world the same way you do and are looking to the, and maybe that's true, you know, but I remember, and I'm a little bit older than you, you know, like anytime a Christian artist, this often happens, has wanted to branch outside of the CCM, the Contemporary Christian Music label, Christians have usually been not on board.
Okay. Like, you mean to like other genres?
Other genres or to other kind of how they, other audiences. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I remember Amy Grant, the queen of contemporary Christian music, released just a pop song that wasn't about Jesus. People were mad. She also got divorced and people were very mad about that. Lauren Daigle, a new rising star, then released an album that was not Christian. It was just songs. And she's a Christian. She's writing songs. They have a Christian influence, but they're not about Jesus, or explicitly about Jesus. And then she went on Ellen and people were mad. And so I think the idea of like my artists who I listen to or who I get my information from need to have the exact same worldview as me. And personally, I see this more in like music than I do in like movies or TV. Like if there's a Christian director, they can... What are there? You know, like maybe we just don't know Christian actors and things like that, but they can kind of do whatever they want. They don't need to be in like God's Not Dead 7 or whatever. They can do real movies, you know, but for music, it's like you're either with us or against us sometimes for the Christian crowd.
And
that I feel is a mistake, you know, and so there were referencing some of these people like that they're crossing over into this country is to be more seeker sensitive. It's kind of like we're taking this message of Jesus and of faith into barstool rock or country, you know, hip hop hybrids, because that's where people are who are not listening to K-Love or who are not coming to church.
So it's like an evangelism tool.
So yeah, it's how can we bring spirituality to people who are not in church and using those tools? What do we think about this? That can Jelly Roll be the next great evangelist?
I don't know. I don't think it's up for me to decide per se. Yeah. But you know, I do. I don't know. I feel conflicted about it, right? Because I know of colleagues, you know, I know of ministries around at least the U.S. that happen in coffee shops and that happen in bars or, you know, things like that. So to me, I don't consider those spaces to be godless, right? Yeah. Or like lacking in people who have faith. But I do think there is something really powerful about going beyond what I would say the comfortable walls of a faith community,
yeah,
and being willing to talk about Jesus in those spaces, right? I mean, we talked about it on, you know, this past Sunday, right? What does it mean to be bold in talking about our faith? Yeah. And I think that, at least in the Lutheran Church, you know, historically, is not something we've really been all that great at, or yeah, been able to figure out how to teach and model, I would say, really well. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a really exciting thing for an individual who's going and doing that work,
yeah,
right? That spiritual work, I'd say, to share about Jesus.
Yeah.
And who knows what that impact will be on the people that they're encountering.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think there could definitely be some value here of saying, like, look, if this is a demographic that's not getting spiritually fed and not coming to church,
yeah,
then, like, there can be, how can we bring worship or, you know, faith ideas to the bar stools and to the pool, mm-hmm, halls,
mm-hmm,
and meet them where they are. And I think that can be a really valuable thing. And I think it's also a reminder. So they kind of concluded, like, yeah, I wouldn't worship with Bubba in mind. Like, this is kind of the thing. I think it is kind of a reminder too that, like, faith communities can do a better job moving away from this idea of, like, seeker sensitive, which was, like, kind of a big thing in the 90s. Like, we kind of strip everything down for the sake of the person who's coming to church for the first time wanting to hear more.
Mm.
But I do think that there is something to say, like, many people are coming to church who do not have church backgrounds, mm-hmm, who did not grow up in Sunday school, who don't have the shorthand for what church means. And how do you meet them where they are, mm-hmm, while also providing meaningful experiences for your long timers, people who've grown up in church, who have been here for years, who don't need to hear what everything means, what everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I'm sure, a balance to figure out what does that look like for worship.
Yeah.
Because one, if you plan everything for seeker sensitive while you're trying to make sure your people are being taken care of, what if the seekers never come? You know, like, yeah, and all of a sudden, sure, you shifted everything and all your people are like, well, we know all this stuff already. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody new here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do that and people do come and they're like, all I heard about was things I have no idea what they mean.
Yeah.
They spoke over my head, mm-hmm, and I had no connection to kind of be drawn in to, like, nobody met me where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, this is a tough balancing act for the church to figure out.
Yeah.
What do you think? How do we figure out what to do?
Yeah. I think it's hard, at least for me, like, as pastor, as a staff person here, to know some of those answers, right?
Yeah.
But I think about, you know, I've had families who have said, you know, we started coming to Lord of Life when we came to a Wednesday dinner. Like, yeah, that was my, you know, yeah, that was my first entry point. And worship came later.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And Lord of Life is not unique in having those opportunities to build relationship outside of worship. Because maybe going into a sanctuary on a Sunday morning is too big of that initial barrier,
yeah,
to cross, or that bridge to walk over. And so I think it's a really cool thing to know that as churches, we can have a lot of, you know, diversity in the ways that we create space for folks to feel welcomed, mm-hmm, I hope, and to feel like they're building relationships with others. And then maybe that can create some space for those conversations, right? Or to, yeah, to help with those, you know, thresholds down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is kind of there's no clear conclusions of what that looks like, of how every church is going to operate differently,
yeah,
and figure out how to kind of make that balancing act, how to provide music with the seeker, with Bubba,
yeah,
with whomever in, yeah, mind. And some are going to do a great job with it and some are going to not. And even if you're not doing a good job with it, yeah, I don't think you're necessarily doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, there's churches out there called, like, the Cowboy Church for a reason, because, mm, they're targeting cowboys, you, mm, know, blue, mm-hmm, collar Americana, Cracker Barrel patrons.
Yeah.
And they're not targeting me. Like, I'm not interested in a cowboy church because what would I do there?
Sure.
You know, but they get that there is, like, that's a thing that,
yeah,
that is needed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that this is kind of an interesting kind of thing. You know, yeah. Maybe this is this hybrid of country, hip hop, Christianity is going to be a thing for people to listen to while they drink beer with their buddies and play pool.
Yeah.
And that they're not going to listen to Chris Tomlin while they do those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, I do think about, because Jelly Roll is not like a, you know, labeled Christian artist, right? I mean, this song, I don't know how high it's ranked on the charts, but like, this is a song that, you know, allegedly could be played on other radio stations beyond, you know, solo Christian ones. Or
I would gather it's solely played on other radio stations and beyond K-Love. I mean,
to me, that's like an amazing thing to think about, you know, this message, this like story of a God that loves us, right? And like of what Jesus has done, that is going beyond some of the standard Christian silos in our society. And that to me is a really bold and exciting thing. And even if I don't agree 100% with Jelly Roll's theology or the theology in that song in particular, I think that that concept and going beyond kind of what has been expected is a really bold and courageous thing.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Hats off to Jelly Roll.
Yeah. We'll have to send the song to Dan. I'll say, Dan, does this pass the Lord of Life test? Maybe it'll maybe it'll come up.
I can see Dan rocking out to it.
Yeah,
He's a Southern guy. So
we can get Blake to do the lead vocals.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I don't know. We'll have to do a theology check on it first, but it's a cool thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Cassandra, for coming in and recording this. Not fully twice.
Third
time
was the charm.
We hit it. It's still working. Yeah. So, if you have any thoughts, let us know at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.